Antimicrobial agents and mechanisms of action. Most antimicrobials are administered by intravenous, IV, or oral routes. Less common routes of administration include intramuscular, rectal, topical, intrathecal, intraventricular inhalation, intraperitoneal, surgically implanted antimicrobial devices, example, orthopedic hardware, beads or central lines, and antimicrobial coated devices, example, urinary catheters. All antimicrobials are bactericidals, fungicidal or bacteriostatic, fungistatic, based on the amount of pathogens they kill in an inoculum. We think of bactericidal, fungicidal agents as killing and bacteriostatic/fungistatic agents as arresting growth. But a more accurate understanding is that bactericidal/fungicidal agents kill more than 99.9% of pathogens, while bacteriostatic/fungistatic agents kill only 90% to 99%. Antimicrobials can be classified by their site of mechanism of action. Cell wall antimicrobials inhibit cell wall synthesis and include beta-lactam, example, penicillin, vancomycin, and echinocandin. Cell membrane antimicrobials inhibit an enzyme responsible for a crucial component of the cell membrane and include cyclic lipopeptide, daptomycin, and triazole, fluconazole. Ribosome antimicrobials inhibit protein synthesis in the bacterial ribosome and include macrolide, aminoglycoside, linezolid, and tricycline. Nucleic acid synthesis antimicrobials inhibit nucleic acid synthesis and include fluoroquinolones, antivirals, acyclovir, and 5-flucytosine. Metabolic pathway antimicrobials inhibit production of metabolites essential for cell function and include trimethoprim sulfamethoxazole and ethambutol. Bactericidal agents include beta-lactams, daptomycin, fluoroquinolones, aminoglycosides, and polymyxins. Bacteriostatic agents include sulfonamides, tetracyclines, and macrolides. Note that whether an antimicrobial is bactericidal or bacteriostatic depends on the concentration to which the microbe is exposed. Antimicrobial action. Antimicrobial effectiveness and side effects. The effectiveness of an antimicrobial can be optimized by understanding the effect of varying its concentration over time in relation to the minimal inhibitory concentration, MIC, which is the lowest concentration of a drug that can inhibit microbial growth in vitro, in the lab. The MIC is defined for each bacterial species or genus by the Clinical and Laboratory Standards Institute, CLSI, an ANSI-accredited institution. Related to this is the drug's half-life, or the time it takes for the body to metabolize half of a drug. These factors result in two different ways to optimize antimicrobial efficacy: concentration-dependent activity. For drugs such as aminoglycosides and fluoroquinolones, achieving a higher concentration in the blood over a short time is thought to be more effective at eliminating infection than maintaining a lower concentration over a longer period. Also, these drugs usually have a prolonged post-antibiotic effect. That is, they continue to suppress microbial growth long after drug concentration has declined. The goal is to maximize serum or tissue drug concentrations, which often allows for once-daily dosing. Time-dependent activity. Drugs such as beta-lactams and vancomycin depend on maintaining drug concentrations in the body above the MIC for a specified period of time, and thus are best dosed with lower doses at an increased frequency over time. Two major types of side effects are allergic and gastrointestinal reactions. Allergic reactions such as rash, fever, and anaphylaxis, which is rare, may occur with virtually any antimicrobial. Common gastrointestinal disturbances include nausea, vomiting, and, because virtually all antimicrobials inhibit microbial growth in the large intestine, diarrhea. Most antibiotic-associated diarrhea is benign and resolves with cessation of the drug, but suppression of the anaerobic bacteria of the colon predisposes to infection with C. difficile. Other forms of superinfection resulting from the suppression of normal microbial flora include vaginal candidiasis and oral thrush. Because they often go unrecognized, drug-drug interactions may be particularly likely to cause serious toxicity. Other types of toxicities and their most common manifestations include hepatotoxicity, elevation of liver enzymes, often asymptomatic, myelosuppression, leukopenia or thrombocytopenia, renal toxicity, progressive decline in renal function or electrolyte abnormalities, auditory toxicity, high-frequency hearing loss, vestibular toxicity, dizziness or vertigo, central nervous system toxicity, change in mental status or seizure, antimicrobial susceptibility. Antimicrobial susceptibility testing, AST, comprises a number of specific test types, example, microtiter broth dilution systems or agar disc diffusion test methods, plus confirmatory tests such as a D-test. One important test that clinical microbiologists use to help them identify bacteria is the Gram stain. The Gram stain separates organisms into two groups, Gram positives and Gram negatives, according to their cell structure. Differences in the structures of these two groups account for differences in their susceptibility to various antimicrobial agents. Next, we discuss antibiograms and the role of the IP in antibiograms. Infection preventionist role with antibiograms. Infection preventionists may be involved in the preparation of an antibiogram, but many laboratories produce the antibiogram automatically for the facility. If the IP needs to produce the antibiogram, guidelines are available from the Clinical and Laboratory Standards Institute. For example, only the first isolate should be tested from a resident who may have had several positive cultures. Key point: the aforementioned requirement to base an antibiogram on at least 30 isolates within the reporting time frame may make it necessary to combine facility information with that from other healthcare facilities, such as other hospitals or sister facilities, to generate an antibiogram. IPs should present the results of the antibiogram report at least annually, sharing findings with the medical and nursing staff as well as other members of the medical community who prescribe medication, such as dentists, family practice doctors, and others. The laboratory, consulting pharmacist, or medical provider could also do this reporting. A clinical laboratory's periodic preparation and dissemination of facility resistance patterns provides IP personnel with insights into what antimicrobial classes are most resistant and potentially misused. IPs can then determine the status and relative effectiveness of strategies in place to reduce EMDR-OS and antimicrobial misuse. The IP strategy question to ask is, has the resistance of this pathogen to this antimicrobial changed in this facility to warrant altering our infection prevention interventions? Also, antibiograms help raise awareness of EMDR-OS at the facility and so can help promote the need for robust antibiotic stewardship. When IPs are reviewing and interpreting an antibiogram, it is important to determine if there are differences in demographics between the populations studied in the antibiogram and those of the facility, example, age, race, gender. This may be the case when an antibiogram was produced for an entire community or for a larger hospital network of which the facility is a part. Another typical situation arises in facilities with an emergency department. In these facilities, the trends from the emergency department will usually be separated from inpatient clinic data, as the former's data may be more representative of the community while the latter's data are representative of the facility. Even when antibiogram reporting is unavailable, the IP should collaborate with the laboratory staff to ensure that drug-resistant organisms are rapidly identified and reported to him or her and to the nursing staff. The facility should establish a real-time process in which the IP has access to culture results. Analysis of antibiograms should be included in the data reviewed by the Quality Assessment and Performance Improvement Committee. Antimicrobial misuse. Misuses of antimicrobials include the following: prolonged empiric antimicrobial therapy without clear evidence of infection, treating a positive clinical culture in the absence of infection, failure to narrow the antimicrobial therapy after a causative pathogen is identified, prolonged prophylaxis, excessive use of certain antimicrobials. For example, widespread use of fluoroquinolones has led to the fluoroquinolone-resistant strain of C. difficile, societal overuse harm. From a societal perspective, overuse hinders the ability of physicians to treat certain infections. To illustrate, let's look at a few of the more recent examples of antimicrobial resistance. ESBLs are found in common gram-negative bacteria, such as E. coli and K. pneumoniae, and they confer resistance to all beta-lactam drugs except the carbapenems. CREs are gram-negative pathogens that are resistant to most antimicrobials, including carbapenems that have been useful for multiple drug-resistant pathogens until now. The media has publicized CRE as a superbug. From an infection prevention perspective, residents with ESBL or CRE are typically placed in transmission-based precautions in addition to standard precautions. Another example is vancomycin-resistant S. aureus, VRSA, and, unfortunately, resistance has been reported with linezolid and daptomycin use. Antimicrobial stewardship is critical to preventing antimicrobial prescribing habits that provide an environment conducive to such a resistant pathogen. Resident misuse risk. Inappropriate antibiotic use increases the risk for medication side effects, adverse events, antibiotic resistance, medication interactions, anaphylaxis, prolonged hospitalization, additional financial costs, resident duress, and mortality. Examples of resident misuse include stopping use of an antibiotic once they feel better, using antibiotics left over from a previous illness, pressuring providers into writing prescriptions for them, sharing prescriptions with others. EMD are OS antimicrobial misuse. The misuse and overuse of antimicrobials is considered one of the world's most pressing public health problems. According to the CDC, 47 million unnecessary antibiotic prescriptions are written in doctors' offices, emergency rooms, and hospital-based clinics annually in the United States alone. Widespread antimicrobial use is the main selective pressure responsible for increasing resistance in community and healthcare facilities. The end result of widespread use is loss of antibiotic effectiveness. Major mechanisms of antimicrobial resistance include drug inactivation, alteration in target site, decreased permeability or efflux, and bypass of a metabolic pathway, as shown in Exhibit 3-6. Exhibit 3-6, Mechanisms of Antimicrobial Resistance. Let's review these major cellular mechanisms of antimicrobial resistance. Drug inactivation. Drug inactivation occurs when a bacterium produces an enzyme that can destroy or inactivate the antimicrobial. Bacteria may produce beta-lactamase enzymes that destroy penicillins and cephalosporins. This is the primary mechanism of resistance for ESBLs, expanded-spectrum beta-lactamases, that produce beta-lactamases and CREs, carbapenem-resistant enterobacterials, that produce carbapenemases. Altered target site. Drug receptor or target binding sites may undergo alteration, as observed in methicillin-resistant S. aureus, MRSA, when the penicillin-binding protein, PBP, is altered to PBP2, coded for by the better-known MECA gene. Decreased permeability or efflux. Changes in drug permeability or an efflux of drug may be observed, as in the case of P. aeruginosa that has developed resistance to the carbapenems. Bypass. Bacteria may develop alternative metabolic pathways to bypass the pathway that was inhibited by the antimicrobial. Resistance to trimethoprim/sulfamethoxazole commonly occurs in this manner. Resistance develops in microorganisms as a result of either point mutations in existing genes or the acquisition of new genes. Point mutations are random errors that occur during DNA replication. They occur infrequently at the correct locations of the bacterial genome necessary to cause resistance. When point mutations are responsible for resistance, it usually is because they have a slight structural change in a drug receptor or target site.